At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. Yeah. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Baddies.
And those who love us. Hello, you're watching and or listening to Black Bi Reality, a place for Black Bi Baddies and those who love us. We are doing Love Is Blind Season 6. I'm your host, Nicole Weaver. I'm also an entertainment reporter currently writing for Collider. And I am joined by my co-host for the series, Quita Tinsley. Hi, Quita.
Hey there.
Hello. All right. We have just two episodes this week to cover, thankfully, but also they're major episodes.
They are.
We would not be able to handle any more than what they just gave us.
No, they served up so much. They really knew what they were doing with this drop.
Let's get into it. We do this by couple, and the couple we always start with is Amy and Johnny because they have the least to talk about.
Right. They're our strongest couple.
How dare
not
you,
not according to Jimmy, but...
How dare you, Quita, say that?
We'll get to them, but I was just like, sir, stop being delusional. This is definitely the strongest couple this season. Don't do this.
I don't know. I'm starting to have a theory about Jimmy that at this point he's nitpicking. Because what do you mean it hurts your feelings and all this? It's like, you tell anyone who'll listen about your fights, both of you. Like,
literally.
You want her to be delusional?
Right. And so far, Amy and Johnny's biggest point of drama is birth control and Johnny realizing what a vasectomy is. And he's like,
look, look. Education was had. What
true.
We're really talking about. But first, Amy has made it clear that if Johnny and her are going to get married, they need dad's approval. So they meet this man. I had no anxiety over this. I like already knew it was going to go well. But what did you think?
I was a little curious to meet her dad just based on the way she had talked about him. Mm-hmm. About being like, you know, he's not a fan of this process. So like, we've seen parents in the past who haven't been fans of this process be a bit more hesitant, kind of dry with the fiance. And so I was kind of nicely surprised, even though, you know, he probably has his thoughts, but he came to meeting Johnny very open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm assuming at this point by now, like, the dad sees how happy Amy is and maybe just trust her judgment. So... yeah, obviously, like, once your kid tells you, I'm going to, like, date someone through a wall and get engaged, you're not going to be thrilled.
Right.
But, you know, she's in the best relationship out of these couples, so how could he say no? He did say that Johnny says that he wants to work his way up and retire. He wants to teach kids how to surf and just have a relaxing life.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's definitely on that fire journey of like grind now in my 30s, maybe some of my 40s, so I can live out my dreams of not doing anything.
I mean, good luck to him. A retirement sounds like a pipe dream for most Americans.
Truly. Truly.
Retiring early, like, good luck.
Yeah, and it's like, is Amy going to be down with, like, the sacrifices that you have to do for that type of lifestyle?
Well, now they can be influencers on top of it. So
that's true. That's true.
Amy, I will watch Amy talk about crystals.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's side hustles that they can do for sure. So, yeah, her dad, I thought this was really sweet and, like, emotional and probably what every parent wants, but we just don't hear it articulated. Her dad said that he wants someone to be there for her when he's no longer around. And yeah, that's his main concern. Johnny said he wants a close relationship with her family. And then Amy's dad gives his blessing for them to marry.
Right. I mean, yes, meeting her dad, Johnny's very family oriented, mm-hmm. like he's very close to his family. So I feel like, you know, sometimes like people go in trying to impress a parent and it seemed like Johnny was just genuinely trying to get to know mm-hmm. the dad because it's like the dad kind of came in and was like in control. He's like, have a seat. And it's like, yeah. You're joining us.
No.
And Johnny's not like in a pissing match with him trying to be like
not
a dominant man in Amy's life now. He's just like, you're her dad and I want your blessing for mm-hmm. her hand in marriage.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is a very Southern thing. I actually don't remember previous couples talking about explicitly wanting a blessing from the father.
Yeah, very Southern.
Yeah, and even Matthew was, like, trying to dangle that. So it's like, we're seeing the culture. Yeah, so other than that, everyone's wedding planning, because we're, like, around 10 days out mm-hmm. from this. Mm-hmm. And Amy says that she's going to hyphenate her name with, and Johnny is like, 100%. Like, that's your culture right there. But then he was quick to say, but the kids are going to have my last name only.
I was, like, so curious about that. And she was like, yeah, of course. But I was like, why is it of course?
Why is it of course? This is my thing. It's so weird. Americans and men, like, really pushing that they need their name to be, like, the family name. Like, and I will never forget when I was hearing how, like, naming works elsewhere. And honestly, it was, like, an African culture. I cannot pinpoint, but they were like, yeah, you always got go by the mother's name because you can never contest like the mother being the mother. And it's like, that actually makes so much sense.
Exactly.
And the fact that in our culture it's like, but the man has to slap his name on it, it's like, woo woo. That doesn't make any sense. Like finding out lineage through mothers makes so much more sense. And yet you're making it harder by making women switch their names all the time.
Right. Right. And it's like you have to, if you get divorced, your options for changing your last name, it's like either what it was legally before mm-hmm. you got married or you stick with your married name.
And like, it forces women to be like, well, I want to keep my married name because I want the same name as my children. I birthed out of my cooter.
Right.
You better slap your own name on that.
Right. And I'm like, what's wrong with your kids having both last names, Donnie? There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it, but, you know. Everyone's got to make their own decisions. Now, let's get to the children, how the children are going to be put off from getting here, because Johnny doesn't want those children to have his last name tomorrow. So this man was like, oh, I looked into the vasectomy. I know I said, yeah, I could do that. But when I looked into it, it's so much harder. This man tries to educate other people explaining what a vasectomy is, except he can't say sperm or ejaculation.
He can't. I was like, why is he struggling? Does he not know the word or does he feel uncomfortable saying ejaculation?
Does he know this is Netflix and we've literally seen real couples like bone on
literally. the old guy. I'm like, we've seen how queer babies are made on the old day.
Queer babies are made. But like,
yeah.
I think it's a culture thing. Like, we're really seeing, like, they are struggling with this topic. Weird. Anyway, so, yeah. Johnny's not getting a vasectomy. Shocker. Shocker that a man was like, oh. But here's my thing that really made me start thinking, and I tweeted this. I was like, why don't men just, like, freeze their sperm, get the vasectomy, and then you don't actually have to, like, you could still possibly impregnate someone after getting a vasectomy, but it's slim. Mm-hmm. And men love to go on and on about, like, not having control over pregnancies and stuff. You know how you could? Bank that shit.
Right. I mean, the reality is, like, they literally don't know their options, because I feel like most times when we talk about reproductive health, if we are even talking about it, we're often focusing on women's bodies or people who can become pregnant. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when he's like, he didn't know what a vasectomy was, he starts researching birth control for men and then realizes, like, it's still in the trial phase, which, why in 2024 are birth control for people who have sperm still only in, like, the trial phase, right? Because of how long we've focused solely on people, how people are the people who can become pregnant, you know? It's like, wow. Wow.
I don't know. For me, low-key, I wish men just, like, would admit they actually really want children. Because as much as they do not prioritize it in our society, they really want those babies, and yet they will, like, be the first to claim women are trapping them.
Right. And it's like they can actively be in choice about their family planning decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's not solely based on, like, their partner who's a woman. You know, it's just like, if you want to have kids, you can also think about your timeline or how you handle your body parts. Like, also, Johnny, just put a condom on. Like,
why haven't we said condom in all these episodes?
Literally. I'm like, does Amy have, like, a latex allergy that we don't know of? Like, why?
No, they're doing the very, I won't say the word, but we can all imagine, thing of doing everything but, because we know that purity culture stuff. So, anyways.
That part.
This is a tale as old as time. Amy is now considering birth control after being so against it. Because, of course, it's on her to do that. That's all I have to say about these guys. We had wedding dress shopping. So this is a little bit glimpse of the dress she chose. She looks like a fairy, like a princess. I think it's totally her vibe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Watching this, I'm really curious about her relationship with her mom.
Yeah.
Because she's spoken a lot. Like, for a second, I thought maybe her mom had passed away because of how she hyper-focused on her dad and even said that her dad is the caretaker of her younger brother. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, maybe her mom isn't with us anymore. And then her mom was there. And I was like, okay, so I want to know more about y'all's dynamic and relationship, because you literally have not talked about this woman up until this point that we see her.
Nope, but she's there. She exists, right. We learned.
Right, right.
And she's a good friend who's also there from, like, grade school, which is cute. But also, I think Amy's pretty young, so probably not surprising.
Right.
We leave off with them. This is, like, the second camping date kind of scenario that they have. It always looks gorgeous, but I'm like, are they super outdoorsy people?
I can see Johnny being super outdoorsy.
Yeah. And she likes crystals, so maybe. But
like, she can do glamping, which is why it's always, like, very beautiful.
yeah, maybe. But yeah, I'm just starting to realize I really don't know much about these couples, and we're so close to the wedding, like this couple specifically.
Right. We start to realize how much they haven't really talked about anything besides birth control and them being happy with the
cameras
in front of, or Or they talked about it and it just hasn't been in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, next couple, Clay and AD. Let's talk about it. All right. So we kick things off with actually Clay meeting AD's mama. First of all, mama looked gorge. Mm-hmm. Mama looked gorge. But a lot happened here.
Right, because even before Clay gets there, we get some intel.
Yeah.
About how does Manny been home?
Yeah, AD says the last time she saw him was last afternoon. She set a whole thing out talking about 25 reasons that she loves him or likes him. And she said that is still sitting there on the island. He hasn't been home. Her mama asked, is he in the Secret Service?
Great question, Mom. What the hell do Clay do? Why does man ain't home?
I'm hearing about boats. I'm hearing about Airbnbs. I don't know. But this man ain't coming home.
Right.
And yeah, so it's a lot. Edie's like, no, Mom. But her mama tries to get Clay to say it's big that his parents have been married 25 years. Because when he brings it up, he talks about the negative impact it has. AD's mama, and this is an older generation thing, I think, they really value longevity over quality.
They do. It's when it like
comes to marriage.
Literally. Me and someone who's also going through a divorce were just talking about this, how like past ideas about marriage is like, if you stick it out, that's a successful marriage. Not how happy you are, not how connected you feel to your partner, literally just staying legally married.
Yeah.
And like living with your spouse for decades is like the success.
It's like, why? I think it's the fear of really saying like, oh, you really wasted all that time to like push the narrative that, well, something must have been good. Something must have been working. That is not true. Like, people can stay in really bad situations for a long time, but also, yeah, try to have some mental narrative. So I wasn't a big fan of her pushing on like, but then Clay also seems very negative. I kind of get trying to get him to see the light because he seems to be such in a hole of like all of the past and it really weighing on him. But I don't know. I was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
But then she said some good hits. She was like, look, your generation's supposed to do better than us.
Mm-hmm.
That's within your control. So, yeah. You can do that. She talks up AD, which makes AD very emotional. She seems to be very team them. She's like, you guys can make this shit work if you want to. How did you feel about that mentality?
I think mama hasn't seen everything that we've seen, right? And I think this is a thing that comes up with one of the other couples is like the parents only see what they're seeing in that moment and what their child tells them about that relationship.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think mom is being really encouraging, but I also love the way that she spoke so highly of AD as well. Mm-hmm. Right. Like she wasn't, you know, cause it's like, I think also with noticing with them in particular, and maybe this is my own shit around being raised up as a Black girl, but like a lot of times Black women are like asked to accept a lot of things if they have like a good man in front of them, right? And so I did appreciate how her mom was like speaking life over her and being like, you're amazing, right? And like, if he doesn't choose you on that wedding day, that ain't your man, right? And so, like, I really appreciated that, even though she was like, you know, something must have been right or something must have been good. Like, I mean, sure, you ain't heard this man talk about how many times his dad has cheated, but whatever. But
yeah, or him being around the cheating, like
his daddy taking him on these infidelity trips, like,
damn. Nah, he's scarred. He's scarred, rightfully so. Yeah, so she also brings up that he's self-sabotaging a bit. being in this headspace, which I think is dead on.
Right.
So yeah, Clay, that's where we leave off with that. It looks like they have some support, but also a lot of thinking to do.
Clay, I didn't appreciate her calling them Barack and
I forgot. No. I was about to say that. And then that, oh my God. Every black parent.
I'm like, let's not romanticize somebody's marriage that we don't know nothing about besides what they tell us.
Mm-hmm. And even some of the things that they've told us has not been positive. So
period. Let's do away with this black excellence type love BS. Like, because also I'm like, that's not helpful for someone like Clay, who often only thinks about accolades and that determining his value. And also, even when thinking about how he engages with AD, he isn't often being like, you're so beautiful, or like, it's like, you know, he often is also himself like doting on like how amazing the things she's done, mm-hmm. and how that makes her such a great partner in relationship to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heard. They later talk at home. Clay tells AD that he watched Love is Blind, because at the beginning he said he hasn't watched the show. And he was watching how those couples talked in the past, saying the right things. He's acknowledged that he's not doing that. It's been kind of negative. And he said he's not mature enough for marriage and is embarrassed. AD says she's content and happy and not afraid. And this is when Clay started asking, like, well, do we really need to hinge everything on this wedding date? What are your thoughts about this whole conversation?
Honestly, I was just like, when Clay got recruited for this show, did he actually read the details of this show? Because it feels like he chose someone and now he's here and he's like, oh, snap, we actually have to get married. Like, at the altar. And I'm like, Clay, like, what? How did you get here if you didn't think marriage was like one of the things?
I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't know. Okay, I'm switching up on Clay. I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
I have some feelings about Clay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am seeing a person who really wants to get things right. I would feel differently if Clay was doing all the same exact things, but it was so obvious he didn't care. Because I think in the past, when he kept bringing up cheating, I think a lot of people read that as he's prepping AD for when he cheats one day. And instead, I'm seeing him in so many different ways, really thinking hard about what he's doing and why he's doing it. So that also made me switch up on seeing him with that intent, rather than someone who cares so much he's trying to get it right. Like, why is he watching Love is Blind now? And he's watching it and he's like, oh, I have been fucking up. I've been spending so much in front of these cameras talking to AD about freaking cheating, when these other couples, they have been having like positive conversations, and I feel embarrassed that I am failing her. That's at least how I read it, but I don't know. Do you get that sense at all?
I can see how you see it that way, and I don't.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe I would feel differently about it if he was coming home when they aren't filming. But this is not the first, like, him meeting her mom is not the first time that he has not been home when they went to the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they come separately. So I'm just like, it seems like Clay is not spending a lot of time with AD. And then when he does, all he can focus on is his fear around what he watched growing up with his parents, not having great examples of black love, right? Mm. And so for me, I'm just like, it feels like he doesn't feel maybe connected to AD as strongly. And he has a lot of fears about marrying her because he knows he's not fully in this.
I think the him not coming home often is a good point, but also I think a big thing that they both acknowledge is that he's working. Like, it if we find out that he was a liar about working, being away for work, like, yeah, this is a bad look. But I, like, with his mom's calling him, like, Mr. Entrepreneur, and then how he was talking about his, like, commute and everything, it just sounds like he has a lot going on. And maybe how we said at the beginning of this season, these guys seem to have an old school look at marriage. And for him, it's like part of that old school is that those men were always at home. A lot of them were at home because they had work.
Right. But I think for him, him having all these fears around how his dad would go on these trips and things, is he not realizing how it looks?
Yeah.
That he's not coming home and his excuse is work, which he could very well be working.
Yeah.
But also I'm like, doesn't he work in software sales? Which his one job is like tech sales. And then his other thing is like jet ski rentals. And then he does apartment rentals.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. But then also it comes down to the question of like, is he truly ready for a fiance?
But I think that's what he's saying.
Right. You know? So then I'm like, what?
But it's like, I think going into this, you think you're ready for marriage. And I think he wants to be ready, but I think he just realizes the timeline of like, I want to get some more shit straight first. And we've seen different people have different feelings about the timeline on this show. Because I think for one, they're like, okay, I can do this. But it's a different thing when you're starting to live a life with that person and then you're like, wait, maybe 3 weeks is a little quick to make that. And I honestly don't bemoan any of them for like having cold feet about that timeline. And I'm not surprised that when he brings it up, AD is like, look, if we don't get married that day, then it's over. I'm not dating you after this. We've seen that with, what was it, Natalie and Homeboy, but Bartice?
Oh, Nancy and Bartice? Yeah.
Nancy and Bartice, because Bartice thought they could date afterwards, and she was like, no. He was surprised. He was like, oh, I didn't know you were really putting weight on that date.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, it's like AD clearly came here ready for the structure of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Clay clearly thought he was ready. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wasn't fully aware of what ready meant and is not ready. And I think also it's like when thinking about people who are on this show, if you've never had a serious relationship, maybe this shouldn't be your first, like just jumping in. Because like if you've never lived with a girlfriend or had expectations in a relationship around whether you come home or not, finding out for the first time when you have to make a decision in 21 days probably isn't going to be the best thing for you.
No, probably not. Hi, baddies. You probably know that from our previous teasers, we were planning on having a reality TV guest for this episode. That didn't quite pan out, but I'm happy to say I talked to Savaya Broderick about the traitors for the penultimate episode, and then we got into Love is Blind. So this recap will have a few words from Savaya Broderick of Survivor 45. Here are her thoughts on Clay and AD.
Season 3. I love that show.
I
love Love is Blind, man. Like Jimmy and Chelsea, oh my god, they are crazy. AD and Cal, oh my goodness. Clay, amazing. Like I really hope that they say yes to each other.
Is on my side about that. I said that.
I think that they are great together. Like I feel like he's very emotionally mature as far as like him being able to articulate his feelings to AD. And even though they might not be what she wants to hear. See, like I feel like that's the key to every relationship. Like I'm like that in my relationship. I'm so like completely like transparent, and it's like, even if it hurts your feelings, even if it doesn't necessarily match up for what you want me to say right now, I'm gonna say this and then we can just talk, you know. And I feel like that's what AD is not used to. So it came across as him being negative, but it's not negativity. It's just, hey, no, this is what I'm really feeling. I can paint this picture, but I'm just not going to do that. Like, if we're going to be together forever, you got to know me, you know? And so I really, really like see myself a lot in Clay, and I really hope.
Oh my God. I'm freaking out because I just talked about episode 10 and 11 with Quita, and this is all the stuff I was saying. I was like, I see my friend Clay. I think he really cares about getting things right, and that's what he's like talking out loud, and I don't think he has bad intent, and I'm just I am rooting
for him. Like, it's speaking from my, like, oh, sorry, but like, just he's like, my parents were married for 33 years and got divorced, okay? And I don't feel like there's really a platform for kids like us that had stable families growing up, and then you watch the love fizzle out and you see the horrible divorce, and it's like, dang. Like, your parents are your first idea of what love is, regardless if you're queer, regardless of anything, whatever. Like, if you have that solid foundation, you don't ever think it's going to break. Yeah. So it's a specific type of mourning that happens for us as kids with like long-term parents. Yeah. And especially in the Black community, we are like kind of idolized in a way by our peers for having a two-parent household and for them sticking it out. And all of me and my brothers be having the same mom and dad and like things like that. There's a stigma for us that we don't have issues and we don't have problems and we don't, you know what I'm saying? So when you see it hit the fan, it's like, man, who am I even going to complain to about this? Who am I even going to vent to about this? Because it's, my life is perfect, you know, on in the Black world, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I really feel for Clay, man. Like, and he's doing such a good job even being able to express it to someone he just met. And he's like, hey man, like, that really hurt my feelings. And hey man, like, you know, what the frick is up with Matthew? Like, why are we even talking about him? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been doing very good, I feel like, for his situation. So yeah, that's just my little two. But yeah, I love Clay. I hope him and AD get married. And I hope that she's able to just see that he's just trying to be honest no matter what. And I feel like that's a good quality, not a bad one.
I'm so hyped. I'm so hyped. Because you don't understand. I was fighting for my life during that last recap. And she was just silent. And she's like, I guess you're just rooting for everybody Black. And I'm like, yes. But also, I have
points. Wow. Yeah, no. See, like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, people, they, when it comes to, like, people like us, where it's like, oh, you had both parents. Oh, poor you. Your parents got divorced when you were 30. Poor you. You know, it's like, hey, man, that was, like, the fabric of my love existence. Like, the seeds that were planted in my mind was seeing them slow dance in the kitchen, you know, making breakfast, or seeing them, you know, go for a bike ride together. Like, that's what I know. So if that's wrong, if that was messed up, I have nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like having to recreate everything from scratch. And I have, that was my blueprint. You know what I'm saying? So it's, and it sucks. Like, yeah, like it sucks if it happens when you're young, but you kind of have an advantage of being able to pull from different things your whole life as you maturate. You know what I'm saying? For me, it was just my parents. You know what I'm saying? So that's gone now. And I've had to talk to my, you know, partner about things encompassing this topic specifically. And just like, look, like, I want to know that we're going to be the ones that make it. But there is always like, you know, but mom and dad didn't, you know, and they didn't know it was wrong until 33 years later.
Or I think... And we have a very different story about Clay and Clay's mom and dad situation. Sounds like he said year 7 and then it continued. So I think that conversation is more about like quality over longevity, but everything that you're saying is like, also, it's generational trauma. That's why I'm so into this season of Love is Blind, because I'm like, we're seeing a very different story with Black people this season.
I love it.
It's just all addressing generational trauma, which I am so about. So
me too. And the moms, oh.
Yes.
Like, oh, I was so worried about, you know, like AD's mom. I was like, how is it going to go? Because like, she could be very mama bear, or she could be like neutral. And I feel like the way that she just handled herself was so perfect for what they needed. And it really helped shine light, you know, in dark spaces, I feel like, for AD, like as far as like her mindset towards their relationship. And it's like, you don't want a partner that don't work. Like, me and my partner, like, we're both active duty military. Like, I'm in Arizona right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm at a training, a tactical op. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be gone for 2 months. Like, the love has to be worth it. Like, period. No matter if you're up the street, you're the postman and you have long hours, or you're the Marine and you're freaking on the other side of the country, it has to be about the love. So maybe I'm not home for dinner, but that doesn't mean that I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know? And I feel like that needs to stop, because Black women, you don't want a bum. So stop making it seem like you do. Come on.
No. It's the effort. Because, that's something that I said. I was just like, the biggest issue actually in Clay and AD's life, besides the generational trauma, it's just capitalism. Which
I think 100%. 100%.
It's so relatable of
which
like,
that's us.
He has goals, and yet he's trying to balance that of like, this is my first relationship, and how do I make it all make sense together?
Yeah.
I'm clipping all of this into our
Okay. Awesome. No, like, literally, I love that show because it's so organic and so like just amazing. And I feel like it's like a next generational depiction of how we meet people. Like, love is, it can be blind. Like, I mean, I know I met my partner, Jordan, I met her on TikTok. So it's like, I didn't see her until, I didn't see her like in person until I flew her from Houston to Atlanta, and we went on a trip to Florida with some of my friends. So we road tripped to PCB, and then we spent, you know, the weekend with my friends at like this house and everything. It was awesome. But until then, you don't know if they're a catfish, you don't know if they're, you know, this is, but you're getting to know this amazing person through a wall, you know, and that was our first date, was her pulling up on me. But the months that, or the weeks that we talked or whatever, I'm talking lesbian time, the months, no, it was the weeks, the days that we talked, it was night and day, just talking. What do you like? What do you like? Da, da, da. What do you see for yourself? And she's older than me. My wife, she's 33. So it's like, you know, like the love, like if she met me out in a club and I told her I was 28, would she have even went out with me? You know what I'm saying? But it's like, if you have that mental connection with somebody early on, and then you get to meet them, you know what I'm saying? I feel like people should really look into that more. Get out of the physical. Get out of the physical. I mean, she's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. Like, she's beautiful. I mean, golly. But I mean, y'all can go to my social media if you don't believe me. She is stopping traffic, okay? But I didn't know her. You know, I gave her an opportunity, you know, virtually, and then we set it in everything in stone. But but I love Love is Blind because it reminds me of my own relationship.
Oh, nice. Yeah, my relationship with my Jordan started at the beginning of the pandemic, and as we all know, Love is Blind hit us at a very specific time that this is feeling very relatable, so I relate to all of that. Yeah, so that's basically where we leave off. It's kind of an ultimatum. We're getting married on that wedding date, or we're not. After that, we're going to the barbecue at the lake. And, you know, these two, thank God, is this the first time we have a Black couple that doesn't have, like, the whole, oh, there was another person involved, and what are they going to think when they see her? I don't know.
Brett and Tiffany, I don't think, had.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They didn't have that drama, so I am so happy. But AD, she did us a solid. Because you know what she did do at that lake? She questioned Sarah Ann. All right, in case you need a reminder, this is Sarah Ann. She was the woman that Jeremy was also interested in the pods. She believes that, you know, you can only have an abortion if you are raped or assaulted, but, you know, you should be accountable for your actions outside of that. I will let you know later why I think that's relevant. So, Miss Accountability didn't get chose. Seemed like she took that shit on the chin real well. And Jeremy, honestly, didn't give her a lot of reasons that we saw for why he didn't choose her. He was just like, yeah, we've been fun, but, like, right. I've had deeper conversations with Laura. So, she shows up to this barbecue. Things aren't going great between Laura and Jeremy because he spent all night with Sarah Ann. AD, she was like, hold my beer. I am Team Laura, and I am going to do what Vanessa and Nick Lachey won't do at the reunion. She's like, we don't have to wait. I will get the answers right now. So AD's like, hey, Sarah Ann, so about you DMing an engaged man that the door is still open. Sarah Ann's like, no. I didn't say the door is still open. She was like, I saw the DM. So Sarah Ann was not ready to hear that.
I'm like, Sarah Ann, girl, everybody here has seen the DM at this point.
But she claims she didn't write that. And so Sarah Ann, she's a little delulu because she said that Jeremy said he was going to break up with her. And so she knew the door was open. So AD's like, so when Jeremy and Laura set foot in Charlotte, from your perspective, he broke up with her because that's what he said he was going to do. Sarah was like, no, she was like, so you knew you DM'd an engaged man. That is the thing we are hinging on. And she was like, no, but yeah, they were engaged. AD definitely made her clarify about Jeremy's plans of breaking up with Laura. And then Sarah Ann claimed Jeremy dropped her off the night after they were talking. And that was it. She was like, I will put everything on my mama that he didn't come into my place. I didn't hear all of that about nothing else happened. It was just that he dropped me off at my place.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting. And she told him that he needs to figure things out with Laura. So at this point, AD's just like, I just don't know what went through your mind, Sarah Ann. Chatting at this engaged man, and she was just like, well, she was just like, well, I didn't speak up in the moment. I should have fought for him then, but I'm doing it now, and I just have regrets. So in the end, Sarah Ann gets defensive because she feels it. She feels the heat of like, oh, I look like I'm in the wrong, because you are. And so then she was just like, AD says, I'm not interrogating you. Sarah Ann's like, well, it feels like it. This is where Sarah Ann tries to act like AD is a mean girl for talking to her about her own actions. And she's like, no, if you feel interrogated, that's on you, baby. We're getting nice nasty now. It's getting real southern now. We're about to get a bless your heart. And yeah, so Sarah Ann walks away and she's just heated. She walks over to Jeremy in this and she's just like, I don't understand why they don't focus on their own relationship. And AD says she don't care because you're not fucking my man. I know that. So we got a few answers. Sarah Ann only doubles down. That's what happens when some people feel shame. They double down. But I just want to say, Sarah Ann's so team accountability when it comes to people who get pregnant, but all of a sudden, my feelings are valid. And I right. have to text an engaged man because feelings. And it's like, your feelings can be valid, but work that out with, like, therapists. Like, you, AD has a point. You're not giving this relationship a shot that he chose. He already didn't choose you. You got your answer. And she's talking about, well, I got closure. I noticed she said, I got closure from my chat with him that night. What's the closure? Because then you talk about, well, he needs to figure things out with Laura. That's not closure.
Exactly. That's the door being open, literally.
Can we say words mean things?
Right.
That's not closure.
It's not. Here's my thing with this whole exchange. I feel like someone needed to check Sarah Ann about it. I do not feel like AD was the right messenger.
Who was? Honestly.
Laura.
Laura's not going to do it.
She's not.
I see what Laura's doing. Because every time they're asking about Sarah Ann, and they probably really pushed Laura to try and talk to Sarah Ann. And Laura was like, absolutely not. I will talk to Jeremy because I had a relationship with him. And I think this is a conversation we've had in pop culture, like, or anyone who's like aware, but there has been a long line of like the other woman getting demonized, painted a letter A on her.
Yeah.
And we're now correcting that of like, you address the person you're in the relationship. She makes it very clear she doesn't think highly of Sarah Ann, which is absolutely her right. But then she's also like, and yeah, I'm not gonna like thug it out with her over this man who was supposed to be my man in the first place.
Right.
I don't know. I think
for me, this is, because I'm like, normally in a situation where there's another woman, the other woman isn't always aware that the man she's in a relationship with or dating or involved with has someone else.
There you go.
In this scenario, all three of these people knew about each other, and all three of these people were aware of the chain of events of he ended things with Sarah Ann. Literally, Sarah Ann walks into the women's quarters and says, yeah, he chose you, girl. He's yours. She literally said that out of her own mouth to Laura, and Laura's like, you know, you're going to find your man, whatever shit she said, cause, you know, whatever. And so I'm like, Sarah Ann's actions were inappropriate because I'm like, if you had thoughts, you should have said them in the moment.
Yep.
Period. Because once you let him leave that room and you knew he was about to ask Laura to marry him, then he's officially taken in a very major way. Like, he's in a full-blown engagement. And so I think Laura would have the right to say something to Sarah Ann, because she could be like, that's not cool that you... Because it's like, at first the message is fine, but then it, that piece where she's like, if you change your mind, it's like, girl, now you're doing too much. And I feel like Laura could have named that.
But I think Laura is just walking a fine line. Right now, she's in the right. She's the wronged party. I can easily see, because in general, viewers are hard on women. I mean, we could talk about Chelsea later. They are so hard on women. I can easily see any wrong move Laura makes in that confrontation with Sarah Ann.
Yeah.
And then Sarah Ann gets the power back.
Yeah. And my thing about AD, though, is like, girl, Laura is the same one who told this same man to slap your titty. That is not your friend. And when you confronted him about it and Laura about it, Laura got mad talking about y'all are blowing things out of proportion instead of just simply apologizing to you. So ain't no caping for her. Ain't none.
No.
If somebody got to check Sarah Ann and Laura ain't doing it, then it's up to Nick and Vanessa. Let Vanessa get on her big one and try to check somebody at three.
AD did us a favor because she's seen these reunions. They were going to fumble it. And AD got plain. She was like, I'm going to let you have your moment to explain your side. All she did was ask. And then she was like, that sounds crazy. But you do you. That sounds crazy.
That sounds wild, but sure, girl. Right.
And it's like, that's it. She was like, I just want to clarify that you knew he was engaged when you sent that message, that he did not say he was breaking up with Laura before you sent that message. That's all we need to know. Because that means you are willing to cross a boundary.
Right.
That's it. Wash your hands.
Right. Yeah, I thought Sarah Ann's, like, approach of, like, trying to play the victim, being like, they're all ganging up on me, or, like, they're all judging me, and this isn't my fault. And I'm like, girl, you should have just been, like, blame it on the show. Honestly, that's, like, such an easy, like, when he broke up with me, I hadn't processed it. I got home, and I had these feelings, and I just sent it to him. I wasn't really thinking about the fact that he was engaged. I was thinking about the fact that this was my ex or whatever, you know, but I think her trying to like flip it back on the women, being like, I'm not wrong, y'all are wrong how you're thinking about me. It's like, girl,
it just shows the immaturity. It really does. And the embarrassment. She felt embarrassed. Like, right. We saw it right then and there of just like, there's no getting around Mm-mm. what she did.
Right.
Like, she did it. And now it's just I'm embarrassed. Now I'm going to double down and be like, well, I don't care what these people, but then I'm hurt because I do care.
I obviously care. And she, right. And she like recognizes that whatever they're thinking, you can assume that like the editors have set it up in a way that the viewers are also going to be thinking that way about you. It's like, oh, we do. Thank you. We're kind of messed up especially like being out till 5 in the morning with him when he was still in a relationship with Laura. Like, that's a bit wild. Like,
come on. You did all of that away from the camera. Someone got to get you on camera to be like, what's your thought process? Come on. Like,
literally,
are you part of the show or not? So, I think AD for her service, okay? Was it messy? Yes, but we needed it done. So outside of that, we see Clay and AD. They're painting their shoes for their wedding. And this is also, I'm also using this painting of the shoes as a character moment for Clay, because they're both painting their shoes and he just keeps hyping up like what AD's doing, and he's like, that looks so good, da da da. And then the last piece is that he's like, can you do mine too? And I don't know, maybe I'm looking so deep, but I'm like, he really cares about getting things right and perfect, I feel. And when he doesn't think he can get it right, he does defer to AD because she has a level of confidence he doesn't have. And I don't know, that just makes me see the human in him.
I'm really glad that Clay can get this humanization from you.
Yeah. Anyway, AD's wedding dress. The hat slit. The strapless. Body yaddy yaddy. It's looking so good. And the sisters are there.
It does look good. I thought it was a little plain.
But the thing is, it's plain because she's already that girl. She don't need much.
I mean, she's beautiful, but I'm like, your bridal gown, like, it doesn't have to be a plain white dress. Like, she is so gorgeous, she could pull off something with more bedazzle. I mean, I know she was obsessed with that veil, which I actually hated.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm your resident queer who doesn't believe in the institution of marriage. Well, so
you're gonna when we get this wedding, you're gonna shit on that wedding. I know it. You are going up.
Oh my gosh.
So funny. Last time we see them, they have their little day. Look at this cuteness. And so AD is like, if you roll with me, we're going to the moon. Clay's like, the moon. It's right there. And like, he's just like, yeah, I want that. So that's where we leave off. At this point, do you think he's going to say yes or no at the altar?
I think he's going to say no.
Okay. No. No hope. And he doesn't give you a lot to get hope, so I can't blame you. I can't blame you.
He literally was like, do we have to get married on that day?
Yeah, he did.
He's like, this man seems like he's realizing the gravity of what it means to come on the show and go through this process. And he's like, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah. He has a lot to process, as usual. Shall we? We already kind of got there. Let's go with Laura.
Laura and Jeremy.
Yeah.
Since the Sarah Ann.
Yes. All right. These two, they didn't even have a picture together in this new drop.
They didn't.
Guilt to throw it back to this one. So last time we saw, Laura was on that couch questioning this man about why he walked up in their door at like 5:30 in the morning. Right. Well, if you also remember, Laura said, I'm supposed to meet your mama today, bitch. I don't care to meet her. And Jeremy, he follows through on meeting her himself. And boy, he tells his mom he got himself into trouble. He said nothing happened with this woman. His mama's looking at him like, you ain't shit.
Period. Shout out to mom for that. Because sometimes the mothers of men can be on that bullshit. But I loved how she was just like, you lucky it ain't me.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been sitting up waiting for you to get home.
Yes.
Period. Period, mama.
Exactly. She said, you got off light. And he makes, later on, he tries to make Laura out to the devil as the devil. And his own mama was like, it could have been worse. It could have been worse.
It could have been. And we, as the viewer, know he's lying about some of these details that he's sharing.
Okay, tell me the lying details, because I think I was still taking it all in, and I saw people talk about him lying. So yeah.
So the way he portrays the story is he portrays it as if though he was forthcoming to Laura about everything, mm-hmm. when in reality, Laura had to catch him in a couple lies mm-hmm. to get the full picture, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, he's trying to make his mama think like, I came home and I just slept on the couch and then the next morning we got up, I told Laura everything. No, Laura had to interrogate you and then be like, and then he's like, well, you have me a location, thinking she wasn't checking the location for her to be like, I checked your location and you weren't where you said you were.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell his mama that. He didn't say, oh, I lied. I said I was in the parking lot of Lost and Found the whole night. But in reality, I was north of Uptown.
There is a woman on TikTok doing the work. She was like, there are no parking lots.
That's what I saw.
There's no parking lots. And then she actually shows up. You see the light reading Lost and Found behind her. She said, you mean these two parking lots, Jeremy? These two spaces? I was like, yo, they're fed up. Jeremy's going to have to move. He can't date.
He can't stay in Charlotte no more because everybody's going to be like, so what was the deal with Lost and Found?
Exactly. Or he already married Sarah Ann or something, because I feel like this is what cheaters do. Cheaters, when they get caught, they're like, we have to turn this into a love story. Because you can already see Sarah Ann working that shit up. Because she was just like, that's just life. That's how love happens. She literally said, that's how love happens at one point. I was like, you're going to marry this dude to pretend like it was all worth it. You're really going.
Here's my thing. It's like, Jeremy's not worth all of this.
Not.
Because now we know this man had a whole fiance before he even came on this, you know, so I'm just like, you're doing all of this for Jeremy, who is more than likely going to do you the same way that he did Laura and his ex before he got here.
But you know what? You lose them how you get them.
Exactly.
So there you go. They're each other's rewards. So yeah, mama's not having it. We have 10 days before the weddings. They all go to the lake. So Amy, Laura gets there first, and the women are kikiing. They got a talking scrunchie.
Not the talking scrunchie. I was like, AD, what is this?
I hope she sells scrunchies after this. I'm rooting for 80 in a way.
I'm rooting for everybody black. Literally, that's your vibe.
I hope that she sells painted sneakers after this. I hope she links up with that black business and everything.
I buy a truth scrunchie of truth. I buy it.
Absolutely. And you're not going to say nothing when you watch me have one. So, yeah. Now, Amy was like, I got tea. The boys, the men this season, they be talking.
They do. How Clay was like, I love our gossip. It seemed like all the men love their gossip.
They love gossiping. They love it. So Amy's like, yeah, Johnny told me some things. He said that he was staying up with Sarah Ann, but all they did was talk. Laura's like, that's what he claimed.
But then she goes, and I was like, Laura did that. I was like, Laura, you're messy because these women don't know if that's true or not. Like, you're just doing that. She
Laura's the ghetto. She's ghetto.
She is so messy.
What do you mean she did that?
She literally did that.
Yo, now I have to go back and watch this for the third time. It's so wild. So AD was like ancient to talk about at 5 a.m. And Laura says she doesn't respect Sarah Ann. She doesn't think Sarah Ann respects her, but Jeremy is the one who made a commitment. She said, you're supposed to protect someone's heart when you get engaged. And the most hurtful thing is that he didn't. Jeremy, he walk up. He acting like she stayed out all night with somebody. The energy he has for her.
Now he got his Hawaiian shirt on.
Jimmy was like, oh, I knew you were going to roll up looking like this. And Jimmy's like, oh, he's ready to push it. Why would you be ready to push the buttons of the woman you wronged?
Period. It's like, Jeremy, what's not clicking, baby? You came home at 5 in the morning after you left the house at 10 p.m. after spending time with your ex, and then you proceeded to start to lie to your fiance about the details of that night, and she had to catch you in the lie. But you're here to push it?
Make it make sense. Like, it doesn't. He's just like, oh, the way she talked to me. And he doesn't. And Laura, I truly believe she could go to hell. She could go low into hell. But what he said, it wasn't even that bad.
Right.
Like, because I'm sure he would have really said some shit if she said something really bad. That it didn't even go there. So he's walking up with his wine shirt, whatever. And they haven't spoken in 3 days at this point. Jeremy apparently asked for her address to send flowers, which she refused. And I'm like, how are we engaged and we don't know each other's addresses?
Right, which meant, I'm like, did he not go to her place? Did they only go to his?
It has to. Like, I know we've only seen the couples go to, like, one apartment in the episodes, but I can't believe they actually didn't go to her place. Like, right. Why?
And I'm like, not you know where Sarah Ann live, but you don't know where your fiance live. That lets me know your priorities, sir.
I'm dead.
Not you can pull it up in the GPS, but you don't know where the hell Laura stay.
What is going on? This is messy. Oh my God. So yeah, Laura texted, well, it just sucks that you went from fiance to Jeremy in my phone. He acts like she just, like, cursed his whole family out over that.
It is petty, though, because it's like, girl, she acting like it just changed on its own. Like, he did what he did, and then the phone just changed. It's like, ma'am, you changed his name. Plus said it, check, girl. Laura, stop being dramatic.
Nah, she's gonna be dramatic, and I can't even blame her at this point. Like, what else can you be dramatic? So Jimmy tells the men that, okay, so here's the thing. Jeremy's talking all this mess to Jimmy and Johnny, who are still engaged. Jimmy's trying to talk some sense into them. Not that Jimmy has a lot, but he has some. And Jimmy was like, you both are hard-headed. So you guys need to get around that. And Jeremy's like, well, at least I'll admit it. He's so quick to act like he's somehow better than Laura when it's like, you're worse.
You're way worse. And it's like, for me, I'm just so confused that he's shocked by how she's taking all of this. Because I'm like, did he not hear who he was dealing with in the pods? Like, I'm like, Laura is the type of person that you have to be slightly afraid of her because you don't know how she's going to read you down. You know, I'm like, this lady was mean to you in front of her own parents. Like, yep. Her parents came out of it being like, you're a little hard on each other, you know. Yep. So I'm just like, you thought you were just gonna stay out till 5 a.m. with your ex, and Laura wasn't gonna get you?
I don't know who he thought she was, because no, that's not the type of girl you were with.
Literally.
Anyways, I loved this because I think Trevor walks up and Jimmy goes straight to Johnny. He's like, I don't want to be any conversations with that man.
And all the women are like,
got problems. Jimmy is the type of man that Jeremy should have been, where he's like, I'm always scared of Chelsea. She's always coming at my neck. I can't be caught up in anyone else's shit.
I can't do this. And all the women are like, that's Trevor?
Yeah. Yes. So funny. So, right. So, what else happens with these two? Basically, so Jeremy
and Laura, yeah.
Jesus Christ. There's so much going on here. Yeah. So, Laura tells Jess that she's not wearing her ring because commitment has been broken, but she also says Jeremy has not asked for it, and if he did, I'll tell him to kick rocks. Barefoot. Why really people like read?
Why hearing people... it. She really thought she had it with that one.
She ate.
No, she's not. Okay.
No, I love it though. Like, I'd rather them do that than like slip into fake AAVE to try hype themselves up. It's like, yeah, you tell them to kick rocks barefoot.
Like when Amber was like, slay.
Slay. Never saw her again.
Saves into the distance.
Oh my god. So Jeremy and Laura, they finally talk. Jeremy said he was 100% willing to try. When you weren't willing to, you know how unwilling you were to try? You actually set yourself up by talking to Sarah Ann that late. That's how unwilling you were to try.
Literally. And a part of me was like, was he just like subconsciously setting himself up and he wasn't aware of it? Or was he like, I really want to blow up this relationship? Because I don't.
Like, they both had energy already on the trip that they could not stand each other.
That's my thing, is like, I feel like when that issue happened with AD, he was like checked out of that, because he says like, I want to go home. And she's like, do you mean back to the room or like home? And he's like, home.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I feel like he ain't been clicked back in since.
Yeah, again, he later said that he was really embarrassed. He told AD, he was like, I was going to go home because I was so embarrassed by that. Right. But like, he's team, I want to look good, right. Which is wild because of his actions. So yeah, Laura says that she politely declined giving her address, saying no thank you. He disagrees. She said, all right, bitch. She was so calm until he started doing that. She said, whip out the phone and the text, because I know I wrote it. And I was like, now, Jeremy, you lying?
Right. But I also feel like, I'm like, the way she's talking to him, I don't know if she quite had that energy. Like, when she said, I politely said no thanks, I was like, I don't believe you politely said no thanks.
I think she politely said no thank you, and then followed up with, sucks that you're no longer you know, she had to get a dig in, but yeah. She said, technically, I was on my polite shit.
Okay. Right, because I was like, Laura, ain't no way you were polite about that. Ain't no way.
Yeah. So, Jeremy claims that he owned what he did, which is like, no, you didn't.
You literally lied your way through the conversation till you couldn't lie no more, Jeremy. Please stop.
Laura said, yeah, you owned it 3 days later. So I wonder what else came out 3 days later.
Like, what else did they say in these text messages? Or, like, what did he say to her?
She then says that she's going to come by and pick up her shit. Jeremy says he already packed it. So what was he expecting from this conversation? How willing were you if you're packing her stuff?
Which a part of me couldn't tell if he was just trying to be, like, snap back at her or if he meant that.
I think he meant that. First of all, look at this apartment.
Yeah, he probably did already pack her stuff. But I was just like, so why are you coming here trying to act like you're going to want to work on this when you were over it?
Well, he said, well, I had to get over it because why would I be willing to work with this? Look what she's giving me. It's like, what? You couldn't handle being in the doghouse for 3 days after staying up all night? Like,
I mean, I feel like he felt like he's been in the doghouse this entire relationship because of how how they engage with each other. Mm-hmm. So he's like, what, this is what I have to look forward to? Even if she does forgive me, she's going to have all this hostile energy towards me all the time.
You should have given up those Hawaiian shirts.
He should have. Yeah. I tried to burn him anyway.
He should have started making a list of all the things he could have done, but he didn't want her. He didn't want her. All right, baddies, that's all I can fit into part one. We talk about the rest of the couples and those who didn't make it out of the pods and have more thoughts from Sabaya Broderick in part two. You can find part two in the same playlist on YouTube or in the same podcast feed. Bye.